This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Right? We want you to be there with Allah Azza wa Jalla and make sure our future becomes present, inshallah, and that funded with Allah Ta'ala. But Saturday night, it is a very special night. Why so? Huh? The first night of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. Can you guys believe it? Subhanallah, we're almost there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make among those who will witness the Laylatul Qadr and give you the blessing of all the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put this entire month of Ramadan in your mizan, ya Rabbil Alameen. You and your families, ya Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah to alleviate their sufferings, restore peace and tranquility into their lives, and strengthen their iman, ya Rabbil Alameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them the victory He promised, ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, in the first few rak'ah, we listen to the recitation from Surah Al-Furqan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Furqan towards the end, He gives us something that is very important for all of us to reflect on, a jama'ah. What is that? What is that? A checklist. It's a checklist. What is it called? Ibadur Rahman. That's the title. Ibadur Rahman, the slaves, the servants of the most merciful. What an amazing title is that, a jama'ah. What a special group, what a special club that is to be part of. Who wants to be part of this, ya jama'ah? Allahu Akbar, you better raise your hand, right? But that's a checklist. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you at the end of the surah a checklist. What does that mean? He gave you the titles, He gave you the criteria. How can you join that club? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I'm sure that most of us are familiar with what does it mean to be a member of a specific club, right? And some clubs are open for everybody. Some other clubs are very special clubs. Ibadur Rahman is one of those elitist. Not anyone can sign up for that. Well, actually, as a matter of fact, the membership is open for everybody. But how many of us can really claim that I have all these qualities? That's why it's really a very unique checklist. How many of us, and I would like to really ask this question seriously, and I don't raise your hand for this, but reflect on this and on the answer to this question. How many of us truly, truly sat down one day and looked at that list? When Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the servants of the most merciful. You sat down and you start looking at each and every one of those criteria. Every attribute, every description, every quality, every trait of Ibadur Rahman. And you said, Alhamdulillah, check, check, check. And then say, I don't know. Well, I need to work on this. Check, I need to work on this. How many of us have done that? Jama'ah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks about people of Al-Jannah in general. But then He said, among the people of Al-Jannah, there's a special club called Ibadur Rahman. How He described them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالْ وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. The first thing He said about them, what? The servant is the most merciful. Those when they walk on this earth, they work with what? With humility and humbleness. They're not arrogant. They're not show-off. They're not flamboyant. They're not. Our society today is based on what? The opposite of that quality. It's all about what? About me, I. And everybody has become their own, mashallah, their own celebrity. On their own social media, everybody's becoming their own success story, their own celebrity, their own, you know, even your own fan as well. And everybody's just kind of trying to brag about this, subhanAllah. So it's becoming completely the opposite. And Allah says, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the servant of the most merciful, are those when they walk on earth, they work with humbleness and humility. قال الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. When the foolish ones, when the ignorance, they speak to them, which means they speak ill language, foul language, what do they say? Peace. Even our society today, when someone tells you, subhanAllah, speaks bad to you, what do you say? Peace, right? And leave him. But that's exactly what Allah says to us. peace. Leave them with peace. That's what it means. And then he described them with more, subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُ رَبِّهِمْ سُجُّدًا وَقِيَامًا. When the night comes, they all were standing up and down in tahajjud for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect them from عذاب جهنم. إِنَّ عَذَابَهَا كَانَ غَرَامًا. It was unrelenting punishment. And Allah described them with many, many other descriptions. One quality after the other. Go and check that list for yourself tonight before you go to sleep. See, check that checklist. And you know what? Write it down as a checklist and start monitoring yourself. Am I part of that club? The membership is open for everybody, men and women, young and adults. Now, it's up to you if you would like to join that club or not, based on how you do with these qualities right now. But one observation I want to share with you, specifically one of the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. The first one. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the Ibadur Rahman, He says, قال, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Those when they walk on earth, they walk with humbleness and humility. So they're not, as Allah described in another ayah, how do they walk? With arrogance. And they put their heels in the ground to show, of course, to keep their heads high with arrogance. No. They walk with humbleness and humility. And part of that is when the foolish ones, when the ignorant speak to them, they would say, peace. Now, what's the significance of bringing this quality to be the first thing? Because the Mufassirin, they ask sometimes the question says, is there any significance for the order of these qualities? Or are they just random? So that's why some ulama, they say, actually, that order is meaningful. Why Allah chose this ayah to begin with, or this quality to start with to describe the people, the Ibadur Rahman, the servant of the Most Merciful, because it's a significant quality. Similarly, they give examples, like at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the people of Surah Al-Baqarah, and the Muttaqeen, what did He say? أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. The first quality about righteous ones, did He say what? Those who believe in the unseen. Before talking about Salah and Zakah, no, He says, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. They believe in the unseen. That's the first most important qualities of what? Of the Muttaqeen, the righteous ones. Similarly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Surah Al-Mu'minun spoke about the believers, what did He say? قَدْ قَلْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Success for other believers. Success for other believers. True success. Who are they? أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ. What did He say? فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. He mentioned before anything else about their qualities, those when they pray with khushu'. Look, He did not actually praise them because they were believers. He didn't praise them because they prayed. They're believers. They should pray. No, He praised them because when they prayed with what? With khushu' and focus. That's the unique quality for them. So that's why having it in that order is very unique and very special. So when Allah spoke about Ibadur Rahman, He says, أَلَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Those who, when they walk with humbleness and humility. Why is that? Because what's the nature of mankind, ya jama'ah? Is it humbleness, humility, or arrogance? Your nafs, does it desire to be humble and, you know, kind of like unknown and ambiguous? Or does it want to be known and be an outlier and all out there and so on? I mean, our social media tells us what we're really looking for. Even those who are most introvert, when it comes to social media, they want to be out there for everybody. But in real life, they just want to hide behind the screen. Still, we want to be out there. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, look, on earth, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be known this much on earth, but you need to be known where? In heavens. Like, what matters if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you and people don't know about anything about you? Who cares? Allah knows me. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi. That's better for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promoting for us something that's not natural to us. That sense of humbleness and humility. No, we always like to fight for turfs. We always like to fight for positions, for titles, for, you know, it's always competition. But here He says, humility and humbleness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the signs of humility and humbleness is what? وَإِذَا خَطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant ones, when the foolish ones speak to them and speak bad to them, what do they say? Peace. We call this التغافل in the Arabic language, which means to overlook and kind of like level of forgiveness. It's a level of forgiveness. Like, I heard you, but intentionally I'm not going to respond to you. I saw that, but intentionally I'm going to overlook as if I haven't seen it. And they say that التغافل من أخلاق الكبار. التغافل, overlooking, is one of the qualities of those who are elite, that the people of good character and manners. the high, behave, well-behaved people that you overlook, even though you're capable of retaliating or answering back, or whatever that is, but you choose not to because that's akhlaqul kibar. They also say, التغافل فن لا يحسنه إلا محترفو السعادة. Overlooking is an art that is only perfected by the masters of happiness. Which means you want to be happy in this life, you're going to have to learn to overlook. Because if you're going to keep stopping at every little thing that comes your way because your ego was hurt, then you're not going to move anywhere in your life. That ego need to be humbled, need to be put into a level of humility. Understand, hey, it's not about you. It's not all about you. And there's still more than this, bigger than that. You're better than this. So you always have that sense of humility and humbleness. You put your ego there. Hey, stay there. I don't want you to get up there. Stay there. Not because I can't. It's because I can, I don't want to do this. Why? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I know at-taghaful, overlooking, is one of those beautiful qualities, as Allah mentioned in this ayah. Who was the master in this field, Jama'ah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like all his career and his mission was about taghaful. Like especially the first 13 years in Mecca, he was hurt, he was insulted, he was spoke bad to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were physically assaulted, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'fu anhum wasfah. Overlook and forgive. Fasfah as-safha al-jameel. Make sure that you forgive in the most beautiful way. Was the Prophet capable of retaliation? He was. He chose not to. Why? Because he was on a mission. He was on a mission. My mission has nothing to do with this dunya. To win in this dunya is not my big deal. I mean, that comes as tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal might throw the dunya under your feet as a reward for you, as a test as well too. But as you try to pursue dunya yourself, you're going to get exhausted. You're going to get exhausted. And it's not really about having possessions in life. That's when it comes to being humble or arrogant, it's not about how much you have in your hand. Being humble doesn't mean you have to be poor. You can be a millionaire and you're still humble. Because it's not about that you own things. It's about that these things don't own you. That's what matters the most. And as long as you have that ownership in your hand, not in your heart, you should be fine, inshallah ta'ala. But forgiving and overlooking is important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that in Mecca year after year after year. But then when he came to Medina right now, it was different. Right now, he was given the permission to defend himself and retaliate. And that's why Badr happened, and Uhud happened, Khandaq happened. But after the Khandaq, what happens? When he got the opportunity right now to strike peace with them, what did he do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, peace. In the most critical moment of doing Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, as they arrogantly trying to dictate certain rules and certain provisions of that agreement under Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was he doing? Salawatullah wasalam alayhi. Sure, we'll take that. I accept. That's fine. Like, wow, as-sahaba were upset. Umar was not happy with it. Ya Rasulullah, why do you accept all these agreements? Why so? Aren't we the strongest one? He goes, ya Umar, just leave it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on a mission. It's not about winning the battle of Jama'ah. It's about winning the heart. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ was all about. At-taghaful, the purpose of it was really to win the hearts of the people. Where do we need taghaful in our lives? In all aspects of our lives. At home, you need a lot of taghaful, jama'ah. Right? Brothers and sisters? You need a lot of taghaful when you see your spouse doing this or doing that. SubhanAllah, just overlook this and overlook that. Overlook your kids doing things, same thing you had to overlook. Like, you need to choose your battles, really. You need to choose your battles. At work, the same thing, you need to overlook certain things. In real life, you overlook certain things. Some people, they say things to you, you have to smile sometimes. Not because I cannot answer back or even curse back, actually. I can, but I choose not to. Because I want to have that, alhamdulillah, khuluq of ibadur rahman. Now, some of us might ask, wait a minute, does that mean that I'm going to be a pushover, and that's a doormat everywhere I go? No, we don't say that. Look, if you don't have the option to respond anyway, there is no virtue in this. There is no virtue in patience if you have no other option. Where does it become virtuous? Is when you have an option to respond differently, but you choose not to because you're looking to be from Ibadur Rahman. So when your spouse should choose to say a word that is very offensive to you, I can make a big deal out of it. But you know what? I'm going to overlook this because I know he or she has, mashallah, alhamdulillah, other good qualities. Maybe there wasn't the moment for them. Maybe there was the wrong timing for it. I will give them excuses and overlook that. With my children, with my parents, with my in-laws, with my friends, I try to overlook as much as I can, because that's the akhlaq of Ibadur Rahman. But once again, that doesn't mean you actually go all the way until you lose your own akhlaq and manners with them. What does that mean? Meaning, am I allowed to respond to somebody being offensive to me? Look, there are two ways of doing that. There is the path of justice and the path of ihsan. And we spoke about that from before. The path of justice is when you reply, you know, or retaliate equally. If someone says something bad to you, are you allowed to respond to them? You are allowed to respond to them. You are allowed. That's called justice. But is it recommended to respond in the same way? The answer is no. So what do? Do ihsan. And what does ihsan mean? It means excellence and perfection. How do you do that? Through afu, which means to forgive and overlook, to the maximum that you can, or you go with fadl, which means be gracious with them. Do you owe them to be muhsin with them? No. You owe it to yourself. So you have the path of justice or your path of ihsan. So a taghaful goes on the path of ihsan. Even though you are allowed to seek the path of justice, there is no shame on doing that, but it does not guarantee you peace, and it doesn't put you in the quality of Ibadur Rahman. So my dear brothers and sisters, tonight before you go to sleep, go read these ayat in Surah Al-Furqan. Go and write down all the lists and the qualities Allah spoke about Ibadur Rahman, and then start seeing yourself in that list. Are you a member of that club or not? If you are, may Allah bless you and bless your families, Ya Rabbil Alameen, and continue to keep you in that membership, in that club, until you meet your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not, you still have about 13 more days, inshallah, ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan, so you can get that membership before it's too late. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among Ibadur Rahman, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are humble in this dunya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it for his sake, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us that peace and tranquility in our hearts, in our lives, in this dunya and in the akhirah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.